Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Hello, welcome to From the Horse's Mouth podcast. And this is Fridays with Fran. Myself and Fran Berry looking ahead to Dundalk, but also having a good chat about all things racing outside of that and whatever's happening in the world of Twitter. The murky world of Twitter, I was about to say Twitter, Fran. I'll get to that. First off, how are you, Fran?
All good, PK, yeah. It's obviously a shame to see Ferrier's called off today, but set fair for what looks like a very good weekend in Ireland at least, and we'll have a chat about Ascot, but you know, form is good, and got out of jail in the last race in Dundalk yesterday, having a poor day up until race 8, so broke even thankfully, so we soldier on to the Friday night action.
Race 8, the old the kind of the bumper at Dundalk. I saw you posted a little nice little reel on Instagram of you being an utter pro in racing TV. Was that yesterday? Was that on Wednesday, was it?
Yeah, we were having talkback issues and losing signal, and basically I didn't know it was on camera, but my camera operator goes, I think you're on. So
you saved it. You saved it, to be fair. You did sort of save it. You're live there, Fran. Fran, you're live there.
I was just hoping I was talking about the right race, given I didn't know what was going on the other end. But yeah, it looked pretty smooth, considering.
So they're on their way to post for the next race, which is the next race at Dundalk, including these horses that are on the way to post, ridden by these jockeys. I've stalled the ball myself. Listen, before we get stuck into all the things Dundalk Friday, as well as everything else in the world of racing, just a few announcements to make. Congratulations to Rita Ryan and Mick Giver on Twitter, who both won pairs of tickets to the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup Day. That's day one of the Dublin Racing Festival at Leopardstown. That was from the competition, our show last week. If you'd like yourself to win free tickets to that particular Saturday, quote tweet any tweet from Paddy Power about this podcast and you'll be in the hat. So you still have opportunities to win free tickets to the Saturday at Brilliant Days Racing. Also, for those of you who are unaware, don't forget to watch our Cheltenham Countdown show. Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLarga, we went through all the novice hurdles earlier on this week. It is available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, which is brand new. Really good stuff on that, including Fran's efforts in the Paddy Power Christmas quiz. You want to see him in the ice bath against Dave Jennings. You absolutely destroyed him. Was that true, Fran, about Dave Jennings getting his pulse checked during the ice bath?
Yeah, we had a medic on site to keep an eye on him, and I don't know. I've never seen a man as nervous about a little bit of water and ice, but he got through it eventually, Dave. But yeah, the medic was needed just to make sure he didn't pan out completely on us.
It's very good. I watched it actually the other day, and it's still good content. Loads of that available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. And if you subscribe to the channel, like, comment as well, particularly comment on that first episode, we'll be able to take those comments and read them out to Ruby and Rory for the next week's episode, which you could win a free 50 quid bet. So all details are available, as I said, on that particular. We'll go live again on Tuesday with the next episode. And finally, one other bit of news. Punters Panel is back, where we get you on the show. We'd love to hear questions from you, which we'll pose to Ruby Walsh, Rory, and maybe even Fran. I think you've already agreed that you'll be on it, will you?
I will, yeah. Happy to jump on and see what the view of the people are, yes. Why not?
The great unwashed, be careful. Some surprise guests, possibly. If you want to get involved, email fthm@paddypower.com and producer Mark will pick it up with you. We're going to make it easier, by the way, for you to get involved this year, so don't be shy if you don't want to appear on. Don't worry. Don't be shy. Just pop that question in and Mark will pick it up with you. Okay, that's all the housekeeping done, Fran. Let's go to Dundalk. We're also going to touch on Thurles of the weekend. We're maybe in Ferryhouse. We're going to touch on Maidan on Friday. We're going to look ahead to Cheltenham, as well as, if it goes ahead, Energamine v Edwardstone. But right now, let's start with the meat and drink, the 3:55 at Dundalk. It's an opening race. Actually, I haven't looked at the card, Fran, last night. This is one of the, I think we've had a few humdrum-ish cards, I think it's fair to say. A few nice races on this one, so I'm looking forward to this. The first race is a mile handicap for four-year-olds and upwards. Leclerc Fredo McGuinness may make the market. He's the top weight. He's won two of his last three. You got French Rescue for John Gagan and Tom Kylie Marshall. Miracles of May, Markovic, Tynamite, they're all fancied. Off we go, Fran. Let's kick off with a winner, please.
Yeah, exactly. Need a winner, PK, and we're going to hopefully kick it off with number one, Leclerc. He's a dual winner at this track, and since a bit of a late starter, he's a five-year-old, but since transferring to the all-weather Dundalk, he's done extremely well, winning twice and being third and second on a couple of occasions. Last time I put a line through his last run, it was an extremely fast run race, and he tried to lay up the pace on that occasion, but crucially there was no headgear on him. All of his best form has come with visors being applied. In his last four starts since he's upgraded his form, he's had visors on the all weather. For some reason he did not have them last time. I'd be inclined to put a line through that given the improvement he's shown with headgear, and I don't think this race is as deep as what he competed in last week. Crucially, he's back up to a mile, which I think will suit him better for all. He's won twice, finishing strongly over 7 furlongs. Just think a mile off his current higher rating will unlock further improvement, particularly with the headgear on. I think he sets a good standard, Leclerc. French Rescue number 2 will be popular. He was a big price winner to Courage during the summer months under this rider, Tom Kylie Marshall, and winning at 80-1 at Takara. And he transferred that form pretty well to the all weather last time and keeping on to be second to the wide margin winner, Higher Kingdom. And Miracles in May, number 4, is worth a look in the market. Haven't seen that one on track for quite a length of time, but has a good record at Dundalk over this trip. And then you're down to Tynamite and Markovic, who have both been running well. Markovic, I'm not quite convinced by her over a mile. She needs to settle and do things properly to finish out over this distance. And one horse is worth a look in the market as well. Number 8, Well Suited. He's a dual winner this track. He's way down the weights, £24 lower than his last win. And there has been signs of life in his last couple of starts. He's just getting hard to get it quite together. But he could be dangerous. But all told, with the headgear back on, Leclerc should take beating with the visor on and stepping up to mile. I think just might eke out enough improvement in this grade to get a third success at the track.
Excellent. Aidan McGuinness and Adam Caffrey to kick off with a winner. That is the first of quite a few extra place races. The 3:55 four places, the 4:30, the 5 o'clock, the 6:30, the 7 o'clock, the 7:30. All of them extra place races. So happy days. Plenty of each way. I'm looking forward to each way, Aka, Fran. We'll kick straight into the second race. It is the second division of the same handicap. Looking at possible favourites here. Dutch Glory obviously springs to mind for Ross O'Sullivan. Siobhan Rutledge having won last time out of the track. Jared Maddox has been running well recently. Billy Lee back after, of course, remember, the jockeys weren't allowed to ride the last few meetings. The ones who've got loads of winners. Reverberation you've got as well, who should be fancied dead for James Lamb and Gavin Ryan. Where are you looking here?
Yeah, Billy Lee, great start yesterday, of course. He had 2 winners on his first day back. And Jared Maddox is definitely in the mix to run into the place. It's not an easy horse to get to win with, but he's always finishing well at the debt. Ella Bella, number 1, will make it a good test. She's very effective at this track. She's a multiple winner, but she's £10 higher than her last win. I just think she's vulnerable to a couple of horses. Dutch Glory will be the likely favourite for Ross O'Sullivan and Siobhan Rutledge. Ready winner last time over 7 furlongs from a wide draw. I finished off strongly on that occasion, but the pace was extremely fast and that allowed Dutch Glory to settle. He can be quite keen in his races and it just allowed her to settle and relax, and she finished off very well to beat Dakota Brazil, who probably should have won yesterday. Form is quite strong, but stepping up a furlong and trip again with a wide draw, I don't think Dutch Glory will settle, and I do think she's very vulnerable at the mile distance. And I just feel that for all that she's well handicapped, she could run herself into the ground and not finish. I think she's very, very opposable at this trip tomorrow night. And Reverberation, you gave a mention to PK, down in the ratings, he too is getting consistent run of form and will be in the mix. But there's a horse, say, beside him there, number 11, Kaplan Knight, a winner at this track in the past. He's way down the ratings. He's £10 lower than his win here last year. I thought his last run over a mile was very good behind Leclerc, over 7 furlongs behind Leclerc. And go back to his last run over a mile 2 starts ago, he went down by a quarter of a length to be third to Malaysian. And he was finishing best of all on that occasion. And for me, he's the most reliable proposition here on this occasion. I think the pace, the way the race will shape up, the drop in weight, it's a good draw and stall number 2. And he was just in front of Havana Pearl on that occasion over a mile trip. She went on to win yesterday. I just think he's a more reliable proposition at the trip than Dutch Glory.
Fair enough. Okay, keep an eye for Capital Light. Each way, as mentioned, 4 places in that race.
Any tissue prices? I know you love your tissue prices. This
I have them. My New Year's resolution was to not look at them, but I have to. But, like, what? Go on then, Fran. What do you think it'd be?
8-1.
Okay, that's not well. 10-1 on the tissue. So okay. 10-1 on the tissue. That.
Yeah, Pitch Glory favourite.
Yeah. 5-2 on the tissue. But again, these tissue prices, I did see, again, we spend a lot of time talking about these tissue prices. I saw Imperi Pass chalked up even money in the Moscow Flyer last weekend. I was like, I would love a bit of even money about Imperi Pass, but no.
I must admit, it took a bit of 1-4 about Gaelic Warrior on Monday night.
Well, you were never really in danger, but that is a single at 1-4.
Well, I'd done a double at 1-4 along with Carvin King, who fortunately didn't run, but beat the odds. He went off 1-14 PK.
You absolutely nailed it. That's an account closer, that one, with the inside knowledge. 1-4 on a 1-4. Look, you know, it's profit. Well done, Gaelic Warrior. Do you think he'll go for handicap or Novice Hurdle? At Cheltenham, obviously.
No. I think he'll go in between Cheltenham. He'll either go to Dublin Racing Festival for the 2 mile handicap, or he'll go to the race in Newbury, the Betfair Hurdle, and go for a championship race, maybe a challenge. That's what I'd have in my head. But who knows what Willie Munns has in his head. It's a very, very attractive proposition. But you got to remember, too, go to Cheltenham, try and win a handicap. Betfair Hurl and the Dublin Race Festival Hurl are probably worth as much, if not more, than the Cheltenham race.
Pretty sure they're worth more. I'm pretty sure Betfair is worth more than the county. I'm nearly certain of it. But yeah, we'll see if he goes for the Betfair. He's a strong favourite for it. He's not going to get punished too much.
It was great to kick off the week with a winner anyway.
Ranberry, what a tipster. 1-4, Gaelic Warrior. and you didn't back in Perry Pass at 1-5 as well, as your whatever it was, 1-3?
No.
All right. Okay. What about Ava Grace the other day? She won at 1-10. I mean, you must have been on her.
That was shocking, actually, trying to find one to be second to her, wasn't it? Such a bad race.
Such a bad mare as a maiden.
For a punch to town maiden hurdle, it was very, very substandard. Now, I'd say, I don't know, it was a good reflection of what's around at the minute, or she's not a filly you'd be really running scared of if you had a decent filly. So, nope. What a weak race, yeah.
It wasn't great. But anyway, we'll move on. Actually, what we do, we'll move on to Maidan. You might be looking for Colin Keane. He's not riding at Dundalk. Obviously, you mentioned Billy Lee off to a flyer. Colin Keane's off to Maidan to take on pretty much the entire Godolphin stable. He's got a couple of rides for Michael O'Callaghan.
He does, yes, and first rides of the year for Colin, of course, and he is a bit like yourself. He's been down in Australia for a couple of weeks, enjoying the sun. He went down after Christmas and not quite as prolific on the social media as you were on your trip by the beach and whatnot, but Colin has obviously stopped in on the way back from Australia to ride I Am Superman and the other horse, of course, in the handicap Fastnet Crown. And I Am Superman has done a similar route as well. He was down in Australia, still owned by Michael O'Callaghan, and he raced down there and done quite well for the Snowden team. He was placed in some big races, second in a Grade 1 handicap last September. Be interested to see how he does perform. I seen him in Dundalk actually a couple of weeks ago. He looked worked very well. What he worked with, I'm not quite sure, I Am Superman, but he looked good, and he's obviously been well tuned up to go there. But just taking on the Godolphin Battalions, as you said, PK, I could only watch him master the seas. Very, very good horse, very good win, beat Magellan at the back end of last season. You'd have to have maximum respect for him, and I just think he's best watched on this occasion, I Am Superman.
Yeah, he's really interesting. A really interesting horse, I Am Superman. And Michael Callan, as you rightly said, trains and owns, sent him to Australia. What an interesting route. And trained by someone else, but now back with Michael O'Callaghan. That's really odd. You just don't see that too often. But he's won a few quid down in Oz, that's for sure. I Am Superman.
He done really well, and it's an interesting dynamic seeing back up on this end of the world. And Michael is moving into new stables currently in the next month, and it'd be an interesting year for him as a stable. When you transfer your team to new yard, a purpose-built yard, it can often take a year or 18 months to figure out the gallop, figure out the routine. It'd be worth watching and see how that goes this year. But he's building a fantastic facility, not quite far from me here at the back of Kilcullen.
Oh, nice. I have to mention another trainer who's got a runner at Maidan, and this might spring a few surprises. Gordon Elliott has a runner at Maidan. Coachello, in those familiar, how do you pronounce it? Is it the Alimir Stud, or how do we pronounce that?
Alimir Stud, I would have thought, yeah. Eamon Waters is the owner, and very, very prominent colours nowadays. A nice winner Punch Time Monday was Let's Be Clear About It.
Who gave another Willie Mullins horse, Champ Kylie, another boost, didn't he? Or one of those anyway.
That's right. And Coachella is an interesting one. He cost a lot of money when bought out of France, winning back in last year. And he was a really good run on stable debut for Gordon in Lingfield in November. Didn't perform all that badly on maiden debut. If he was going to need a run, he may improve a bit here. And I'd say he's a highly capable horse on his day.
Yeah, used to train in France. One start, I think, for John McConnell, ran in the Stewards' Cup. And now with Gordon. So really interesting. You wouldn't expect Gordon Elliott to have too many runners made on. You can follow the action made on. That's definitely going ahead, by the way, made on, which is great. which is great. Obviously, there's
questions. It was raining there last week.
Oh my God. Cancel the meeting. Remember World Cup night a good few years ago where they had that storm in the middle of it and they nearly had to postpone the turf races in terms of keeping back. But yeah, look, that'll go ahead. The rest of Jump's racing, God knows, this weekend. Watch out for that action at Maidan. You can watch on Paddy Power shops or indeed on, I think it's Racing TV. Is it on Racing TV, Fran? You'd know.
It is indeed, yes. Yeah. And it's a good lead into Dundalk, if you like. So yeah, all good.
Happy days. Right, we'll keep an eye out for the Irish and Maidan. Let's go back to Dundalk. Another extra place race is the 5 o'clock. And this is another back-to-back-to-back mile handicaps on the card. Billy Lee, we always look out for him. And if Gordon Elliott's going to be busy at Maidan, Henry de Bromhead's off to Dundalk. He's got Annexation, who we know as not bad National Hunt horse, but also mixes it on the old weather. I think he's won twice here. He should be a big price. This should be open. You've got Ransom for Dennis Hogan. High Time You Won an interesting run for Ada McGuinness, ex-Dermot Weld. What are we thinking?
Yeah, it's really a cracking handicap for the grade. Very, very competitive. And two key races to concentrate on. High Time You Won and Jafel, number 7 and number 8, were first and third at this track a couple of weeks ago. High Time You Won, second star for Ada McGuinness, finished off really well on that occasion to get up and win, recording his first success for, I think, 18 months. Jafel, in comparison, had a luckless run through the field and he was the best finisher at the line, not getting daylight till late on. Both of them stepping back up to mile are of definite interest. High Time He Won may have a little bit more scope to improve at the distance, and he looks to be getting better with racing for the McGuinness team. And then there's Super Over, number 5, and number 4, Final Voyage, PK. He was one of her naps when the two of them last raced in mid-December. And Super Over got a fine ride from Sam Ewing on the front end on that occasion. Final Voyage, with a wide draw, could never get cover, was quite keen on the wing of the field all the way, and the winner somewhat got first run him. But he ran on well inside the final furlong to be second to Super Over, doing his best work at the debt. That was his first run for trainer Johnny Murta over a mile in Ireland, and I think he'll be all the better for that. Crucially, he's got a good draw on stall number 2 to get cover, or number 4, Super Over's in number 2. And I just think with the makeup of the race, a faster pace likely, I think Final Voyage is the one open to most improvement out of that quartet. Highest respect for High Time He Won. I do think he's going to be better at the mile distance, but I just can't get away from Final Voyage at his current rating, based on his UK form at the trip. I do think with Yudish G. Hardy having got his second winner last week at the track, I think he'd be very hard to beat.
Yeah, he's a good story, isn't it? This track race with Johnny Murray. Is he from Mauritius, is it?
I think originally Mauritius, and I think he's in Dublin the last 5, 6, 7 years, but no history in horse racing, no family connection. Dick Bravison, well-known pre-trainer, the car trains a couple of horses as well, introduced to riding, or had a connection there, and he put him into Johnny Murta, and his first winner was in the Birdcatcher Nursery at Nace. So what a start to your career, winning a race like that.
Not bad. And if, like, which is interesting, because when I heard it was Mauritian, I thought, oh well, fair enough, they actually have quite a bit of racing there. We show up in shops on Saturday mornings and they get huge crowds. I think it's Champ de Mars is the name of the track, and they've a very good jockeys challenge there and huge crowd. So I thought, oh yeah, he must have ridden there. But no, really, really good story. Hopefully it goes on well.
Yeah, that race course in Mauritius, I've never been, but it's quite tight. And that Jockey's Challenge, great place to go to Mauritius. But unfortunately, you do the first 6 days of your holiday and then you got to ride on the Sunday. It doesn't be a good feeling for a lot of lads rider after 6 days chilling out, if you like, Mauritius.
Well, if they're all riding 4 or 5 pounds overweight, then it at least evens out, you know. So, I mean, at least you could make some sort of an arrangement if you all head down.
I think there's a bit of fear after being on it all week, maybe.
yeah, it's one to watch out for. As I said, if you watch Mauritius, Champ de Mars is a lovely track. track. Well, I've been, but it looks very nice. 5:30 Dundalk is possibly one of the most interesting races of the night, if not the most interesting. We have three horses rated above 100 here in this rated race. It's a 7-furlong contest. You've got Joseph with Anthem National and San Andreas, who loves it here. You've got Aidan McGuinness with the type of horse he does really well with, ex Jim Bulger and Jessica Harrington, Real Appeal, and I think was trained elsewhere as well. And I'm really intrigued about the form of Lead On McDuff, who ran a couple of times in Sweden. Off you go, Fran.
I couldn't get my Swedish contact on the phone this morning, PK, so we're going to hold fire and maybe talk to Andy McNamara about Lead On McDuff. One win from two starts in Broe Park, and is an interesting recruit, only rated 71, I presume.
How did they get that rating? Like, I'd love to know.
Well, Lotta Joy came in with a rating, didn't she, on her first start from being second in Norwegian St. Ledger, or the Swedish,
one of the Scandinavian
Saint Ledger, yes, yeah.
Yeah, one of the Scandi Ledgers.
Yes, one of them. And look, I presume Andy Mack has to run her here in a conditions race before he can actually run in a handicap off that rating. Watch her with interest. Anthem National, the dam Anthem Alexander won the Queen Mary Stakes for Pat Smullen and Eddie Lynham. Funny enough, the owner hasn't had a horse with Eddie since then, I don't think. But Anthem National was trained in England and progressed well with racing. We haven't seen her on the track since last April, but after winning in Newcastle, ran a cracker in a very competitive sprint Lister race in early March at Lingfield, keeping on really well on that occasion. And first run in grass at Newmarket looked quite all at sea in the track, hung right, hung left, but that race worked out really well. The winner and the second are all rated in the high 90s and into the hundreds now. Audience, the second is rated 105 from what I can recall, and is a really interesting recruit to the team for Joseph O'Brien. He tends to do very well with this type of horse from the UK, and given the promise that she's shown, you'd have to respect her. San Andreas, stable companion, he's a pace angle. He ran a cracker the last time behind Fastnet Crown, of course, who will have maybe boosted the form by that stage of the evening when winning at Maidan potentially. And San Andreas likely to make the running. Real Appeal hasn't won a race for 18 months. He won the Group 2 Boomerang Stakes at Irish Champions weekend at Leopardstown. And last season was a little bit of a washout. He never seemed to figure. And that can often happen. He went to the Breeders' Cup after winning in Leopardstown 18 months ago. And often that kind of horse never seems to repeat or peak to the same level again. Wants to go, you know, understandably, connections go traveling to Hong Kong or America or whatever. And he's probably best watching stable debut. And Angel's Rat, Johnny Murphy's runner, she actually shaped better than the Bay result last time. And if she was to step forward for that, she was looked very, very good when winning her maiden here back in September 2021, but you could only watch her on this occasion. And Anthem National, I'm going to take a chance on her. I think overall, given the stable switch, what she's done on the all-weather in the UK, and if the market speaks in her favour, I think she could be very hard to beat. Could be an exciting recruit to the team.
Yeah, very interesting. I hark back to his granddam. Do you remember Lady Alexander in the same?
I do, yes. Yeah.
I was there at the Curragh as a greenhorn, and I was
Did
told...
Pat Shannon used to ride her?
I was just about to say, I was there as a green at the Curragh, and I went to watch this horse who was going to be the next superstar. And I was like, everyone's talking about this King of Kings and he's going to win today. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see King of Kings. And Lady Alexander short heads him. And of course, King of Kings went on to win the Guinness the next year. But I was like, who is this fucking Lady Alexander? I was supposed to be a superstar. But yeah.
You're probably on King of Kings 1-6 or something. That
would well have been. The end of nine horses with Mick Cannon didn't go off big prices back then. Mind you.
Chris Roach rode him.
It would have been Chris Yost's time, actually. Yeah, fair shout. So you're the man who backs 1-4 shots. I'll be giving it to you.
It's all about beating the market, PK.
Right, Anthem National, in the 5:30. And that's a good-looking race with plenty of winners. No doubt will come out of that, as in winners again. I want to chat about Cheltenham, because our Cheltenham Countdown Series has started, as mentioned already at the start of the show. Ruby and Rory, check it out on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. But Fran, it would be remiss of me not to give you an opportunity to give us a little anti-post Cheltenham portfolio. Let's begin now. Let's park the Flame Bearer for now. I know you're on Flame Bearer and I keep reminding you that. Let's park that for now. Didn't beat much, but he did it well enough. Apart from that jump at the last, we were worried about that one. But go on, give us one for Cheltenham. We'll take one in the next few weeks anyway.
Yeah, why not? Flame Bear, at least he's back on track anyway. Whether he's a Turner's horse, we'll find out. But the dream is back alive for all these same price now as when I backed him 3 months ago, if you like. And Lotta Jai was another one I backed for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. She's got beaten twice since going. going hurling. So we're on the back for a little bit, PK, if you like, or 1-0 down anyway, at least. And look, Ballymore is the one that I think is probably the most interesting at this point in time, with all the ifs and buts about where certain horses are going to go. I know Hermes Allen has been very good in winning at Newbury last time for Paul Nicholls, and Imperial Pass for Willie Munns was very impressive winning the Moscow Flyer last Sunday. I think on that occasion, the Model Kingdom ran right up to her best, or maybe above it. I thought that was a big run by her, and I was in the stands on that occasion, and he quickened up really well in Imperial Pass. Interesting to see where to go as regards distance. Of course, he won over 2 miles, 3 furlongs, but at this point in time, given the odds, I think Champ Kylie is the one that's definitely going there for that race following that win in the Lawlers at Naas. And if you take out a run in the Royal Bond, what he's done to date has been very impressive, and he settled really well. Okay, we missed 2 hurdles on the way around at Naas on the first circuit and obviously the last couple of hurdles, but he settled well, he'd done everything well, and he showed a good turn of foot. And crucially, just the way he went through the race and relaxed for Danny Munns was key to him winning. I think he could put a line to the Royal Bond. He was far too keen. He was lit up. The ground was extremely testing on that occasion. And he was only beaten 4.5 lengths by Marine National when you weigh it all up. So look, at the trip, most likely horse to run there, like Gaelic Warrior is next in the betting, number 14. James's Gate, number 13 and 31, we haven't seen him. Facile Vegas in the betting. Irish Pint, who Champ Kylie beat, is there. Grange Clear West is there, ran terrible the last day. In the Pocket, probably not quite up to it. And American Mike, we don't know where we are at with him. So for me, Champ Kylie, as it stands, 6-1, 7-1, actually. It was 6-1 this morning with Paddy Power. You must
have. Yeah, we heard you were going to sum it up.
give the fella a break, will you? And at the current odds of 7-1, Champ Kylie, for me, rates a very solid proposition, and the better ground, the better he will be, I think, based on what we've seen last summer at Galway and Tipperary.
Lovely. All right, stick him in the portfolio. Champ Kylie joins a lot of joy. We can probably just put a line through that.
She will win a maiden hurl on the 18th at Down Royal, let's see, the 18th March.
You know, they might send her to that meeting at Stratford or something on the Monday before.
Or the Saturday in Kempton, there's 2 runners in every race like that.
Yeah, the horses are battling out, yeah. Right, so put Flame Bear for the, you have them the Turners now. So Flame Bear and the Turners, and we've got Champ Kylie in the Ballymore. That's the Franz portfolio so far.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Back to Dundalk, back to the meat and drink. Nice looking maiden coming up next. Look at the 6 o'clock Phillies maiden over the 7 furlong trip. We have, looking at likely favourites, Joseph's Vittoria Colana, who's experienced, ran last week under this young jockey, Stonewall. He's making a bit of a name for himself. Ocean Symphony as well for Johnny Merton, Shane Kelly, Lily Maguire. They're probably the three to concentrate on.
Yes, definitely to a point. Angel Above, probably not good enough for the ratings, number one. Number three, Lily Maguire actually shaped a promise on debut, but she was extremely green on that occasion, hanging quite badly to her left throughout, and is probably best to watch again on this occasion. Piranha Delta and Vittoria Colana are very closely matched to run last week over a mile at this track. Stable companions were both weak enough in the betting on that occasion, and Piranha Delta was having her third start, and she finished off okay, but I thought offer rating connections might elect to go for a handicap with her offer rating 68. And number 10, Vittoria Colana, stepped forward markedly for a debut run and kept on really well to be third to Daisy, who was an 80-1 shock winner on the night. Given the improvement Vittoria Colana showed and the way she travelled, a drop down trip should not be a problem back to 7 furlongs, and she's definitely the best of the Joseph O'Brien duo in this race. But number 7, Ocean Symphony, I think sets a very, very good standard. It's very, very impressed by him on debut, the way he finished off from a wide draw. He was a slow enough starter on the day, PK. He lost quite a bit of ground, did not have a lot to help him into the race, but in the straight, once he got running between horses, he finished off really, really well inside the final 100 yards in particular, and he galloped out through the line strongly over the 6 furlong trip, stepping up to 7. should suit him very well, by being by Glen Eagles, and a plus point inflection point who runs later on the card as a half brother to him, multiple winner on the poly track. So he should handle that. If there is a negative, both the winner and the third in that maiden have both been well beaten since then. But the second, Annan, has gone on to win. And I just think overall, the promise was shown by Ocean Symphony on that occasion, with the extra furlong step up to, and giving away Johnny Murtagh's horse, can improve for a run. Hopefully, cap off a good night for Johnny and give him a double on the night.
Yeah, I was going to say, Johnny Murtagh could have a good night at Dundalk. Another extra place race at 6:30. And this time it's a 6 furlong handicap. And we're looking at, again, pretty decent. I know we're rated up to nearly 90, some of these horses. So some pretty deep horses. Collective Power in the Sabina Power colours for Eddie Lyne and Mikey Sheehy. Great form. Very consistent horse for a sprinter. Hod's Girl is another one who's been showing really good form for Ado McGuinness. Inflection Point, you've just mentioned a few moments ago, is rated to the horse you just tipped in the previous race. So where are we looking here?
Very, very competitive, PK. And there's going to be a lot of pace on this race. Dream Today, stall 10, number 2. And Inflection Point, stall 12, number 8, are going to roll forward, and we'll make it a fast pace initially into the first bend, if you like. And number 3, Hod's Girl, has been in great form for Ada McGuinness. She's really up the ante in the last couple of runs, but I just think up in grade, she needs another furlong. She's been staying on really well last time, over 7 furlongs. Steel Bull, number 4, won the Molcombe a few years ago, and I don't think he's won a race since, but I thought he shaped with some signs of life last time over a mile. And he may well be worth a look in the market, or look tomorrow to see can he build on the promise of that run at least. Number 5, Maritime Rules. Very, very disappointing the way he finished out the run last time. I thought he'd go far better for Gerard Leary and Billy Lee on that occasion. Maybe the 6 furlong trip will suit him better, but he's probably best watch on this occasion. And Inflection Point, number 8. We're going to mention, of course, he's got his sibling running, hopefully going to win the previous race. And Collective Power, number 11, is the safest proposition, I think, with the way the race is going to pan out, PK. I think he found himself in the wrong part of the track with a low draw last time. He was quite sluggish out of gates and was down the far side of the track. He kept on really well to be third. I just feel that he's getting ready to win, if you like. And a midfield draw in stall 8 with a strong pace should suit him well. One niggle, and it is a niggle and a negative. He's had 3 wins to date at the track, all in headgear, cheek pieces, blinkers, no headgear on the last 2 starts. I'm a little bit perplexed by that. Connections must feel that he's doing enough without headgear, but that is a negative. But I just think with the makeup of the race, if Collective Power is going to win, it should be tomorrow night, just with the headgear issue notwithstanding, I suppose.
We'll have to send Petty a text and ask him why no headgear on his mother's horse's Collective Power.
It's actually not that expensive to buy a pair of blinkers or cheapies, tell him.
I think he's got it. Yeah, I think they're okay. As a family, they can afford the old. So Collective Power in the 6:30, that is yet another extra place race, as mentioned. So watch out for that one. You mentioned Steel Bull. There won't be any other horse in this race who sent off 9-2 to win a Group One. That's what he was. The Phoenix Stakes. Unbelievable. How down he's, how much he's pressed. What did he rate? 83? I suppose it's not too far back, but
but it just shows you them 2-year-olds when they hit it. Peak, how they can taper off, you know, like an underage footballer or whatever. But you know, he's a perfect example of that early season, short, sharp, 2-year-old type. Yeah.
Well, he was 9-2 for the Lucky Vegas Phoenix Stakes back a good few years ago. Before we skip to the 7 o'clock, let's look ahead to the weekend. Look, Ascot is, as we record, we're recording noon on Thursday afternoon. They're inspecting at 4 o'clock. I'd make it 1-50. This doesn't go ahead, but they will save the Clarence House Chase. So we can just clip this bit and play it again next week, Fran. It's looking like Enoch Amin's going to be, well, he is going to be odds on to beat Edward Stone. Yeah. Which side are you on?
Energamine for me, but I'd follow him over a cliff. I backed him all the way through Champion Chase last year and a couple of other occasions. I'm a big fan of this horse. I love everything that he does in a race. And last year, to get beaten in this race, to go down to Shiskin, he was the one that came forward and came out, but the other horse obviously didn't. And I just think with the benefit of that experience and connections, I think learned a lot about him on the day as to how to ride him and play him. Look, I'm a big fan of him. Edwardston, fantastic racehorse. Obviously had a mishap last time at Kempton, but really like the way he goes through a race, the way he jumps, his attitude. It's going to be a cracking race whenever it's on, PK. And look, energy mean for me, but it's probably a race to watch more than get involved in. But if you're sitting on the couch looking at it, it'd be hard not to back energy mean.
Well, he's your kind of price. He's 4-9 is your price. Probably a little bit. He's probably a little bit big at 4-9, is he? You want to wait till he gets 1-3?
I'll be with champion chase then, Bryce, I think, or punches him.
He's more as we record.
Will he run there in a week's time, or will he go for the Dublin Race Festival?
What, he'd be bumping into another bunch of Willy horses, like a Lord, maybe at Dublin Racing Festival. So my assumption is they'll go to.
I have no clue.
But we'll ask Ruby on Monday anyway, assuming this doesn't go. If it is lost on Saturday, the talk is that it'll be moved to Chatham's card on Saturday week, which is the trials day, which would make that a 9-race card. Keep Saturday off, folks, and get ready. Just
be a good podcast anyway on the Friday. It'll be
a long one. it'll be a long one. So yeah, that could be an epic card at Cheltenham next Saturday if they do move it. And I'd say,
what was Ruby and Rory's naps from the podcast last Monday?
In terms of naps, while I waffle on and see if producer Mark remembers, I wouldn't, and he can type in the comments. I wouldn't say they were. See, we covered the three novice hurdles, so that was tricky enough to producer Mark has said, watch it, which is fair. Subscribe and comment on Paddy Power Horse Racing.
Good point.
Very good. The man knows his job. He's dead right. And everyone listening, just watch it and you'll find out exactly.
I will comment as well, actually. Yeah.
Do and make sure it's a good one. You won't win the free bet though, Fran. I can tell you that now. Mind you, if you're back 1-4 shots, maybe it's not the worst thing to give you for your free bets. Right. So Enigramee to beat Edward Stone either this week or next. Let's go back to Dundalk, and then we'll look ahead to the Irish racing this weekend. A couple more races to talk about at Dundalk. Another extra place race, the 7:00. A 1.5 handicap this time. A little bit lesser in terms of the ratings. You've got Nevada Brave, who won last night for Luke Comer and Jack Cleary. Great Solution as well, who comes here in pretty decent nick, having finished a good second for Austin Sullivan, who could have a good night. Maura's Gift as well. Where are you looking?
Star number 6, Nevada Brave. He's still very unexposed. He showed a really good attitude to win over 10 furlongs last time. I think stepping up to 1.5 should suit him very well, and he could step forward here again for Jack Cleary, who's had a good start to the year. Number 4, Chateau Musar, is interesting as well. He's been threatening to get his head back in front off his lower mark on recent starts, but just doesn't be able to seem to follow through and get his head in front, if you like. And number 3, Arch Enemy, has been running crackers over a mile on his last two starts, and stepping right back up in trips should suit him. Not a bad hurdler, of course. He's been competing in some quite deep race on a couple of occasions. And also one worth to mention is Maura's Gift, a likely pace angle. Paul Flynn again has had a good start here, but number 1, Great Solution, I was all about her last day, PK, to kick off the year in good style. I thought it was all over when she hit the front. She idled. Siobhan Rutledge, maybe with hindsight, should have kept her revs up once hitting the front, because once she got to the front, she pricked her ears, and Siobhan put the whip down, then had to get going again, was mugged by Bambino down the outside. I still think she's very well handicapped, very unexposed on the all-weather. I think Siobhan will have learned plenty about her last time, and I'm hoping that they can gain compensation both for connections and myself.
Lovely. Great Solution on the, a little bit of compensation looking there for that one for Fran after the second last time out. We one more race Dundalk, but let's look ahead to the weekend at Ireland. We're pretty good forecast for Irish racing at Navan and Thurles. I think it's a bit warmer here than it is in the UK, so fingers crossed we get 2 jumps meetings. We have declarations for Navan on Saturday. What has caught your eye from the decks?
Navan, I thought the first race today was really interesting. Internet, I was quite a little bit disappointed with him last time. I thought he looked really good when winning his maiden at Punchestown, doing it in really good style, and he's back. I'd been to get back and track here again. He did run bad, didn't he, behind Facil Vegas, beating 33 lengths, but he looked far better than that, at least when he won his maiden hurl. And that maiden hurl has worked out quite well. Maiden Street Prince, the third, going on to win well at Limerick. Pat DeRue and Landrake, very impressive. And Davy Russell is jocked off for him. Pat DeRue as well, I thought, when he won at Galway in October, and as well won in Punchestown in a bumper at the festival, I thought he could be quite exciting. Again, he was well beat by Facil Vega. Maybe they're in between horses, not quite grade one. And each of these, you know, might end up down the better handicap routes, if you like. But it's in a really interesting race to kick off the day on Saturday. And Thurles, Thurlaston Sunday, that's got a Leopardstown card, really, if they all pitch up, particularly in the first two races. Algoi Devassi have been present each of her three runs, two at Ferryhouse and that chasing debut at Limerick. Big fan of her. What she done on debut on New Year's Day 12 months ago, top beating Brandy Love as well, and Monaster and Wee has been really impressive. Okay, she missed a bit of time, but her graded debut chase win at Limerick was very taken, bar the second last and last when she was on her own and lost a bit of concentration. The way she jumped all the way through was hugely impressive. And if she can get a clear run to the festival, I think she could be very exciting against Impervious. But this is another step along the way for her on Sunday.
It's that mare's, the Paddy Power, Mrs. Paddy Power mare's chase has really turned into a mare's novice, hasn't it? It's open to, but the other ones retire, I guess, and it's just,
it'll be very interesting to see would any connections bite the bullet and actually take on the geldings in a novice race.
Well, if Willie Mullen and Ruby Walsh always say, we will run the horse in the race that gives the horse the best chance of winning. And I would imagine Allegory Devassi is going to be a shorter price in the mares than she would be in any of the novices. Ditto, well, Impervious is separate, obviously. You can ask your dad about that. But she wasn't entered in any of the novices, was she, Impervious?
No, I don't think so, yeah. She was very, very good on Sunday as well. Brian Hayes was really good in her as well. But again, I was in the stands and the way she quickened up and testing ground on a sharp inside track, very taking performance.
Really good. The Horse and Jockey Hotel Chase, grade two. At the moment, look, we've only got entries, but... could be a belter. Shaq and Poursois, Fakir Duderie, Royal Rendezvous, French Dynamite, Lifetime Ambition, Battle Over Doyen, De Rasso, Autumn Couleur, Lieutenant Command. It'd be great if they all ran, but obviously not all of them will.
Probably not, but Shaq, I suppose, if he was to run and go up to 2.5 miles on a sharp track like that, he could be hugely exciting. And to see him, drop down a notch in grade would be interesting. And Thurles should play to his strengths. Fakir Duderie's won the race last year, didn't he, off the top of my head? No, he didn't. Aloha won the last 2 years.
He won the similar race of Clonmel.
That's right. Aloha actually won this race the last 2 years, and he beat Fakir Duderie, of course, who was second. Aloha, we haven't seen him for a while since, unfortunately, but if they all pitch up, I think Shaqon stepping up to 2.5 on a track like that could be hugely exciting. But Fakir performed really well behind Gallop and Deschamps, and he will be all the better. He looked quite big in the ring at Punchestown, and he performed well to a point. He should be primed to run a big race here.
Yeah, definitely his conditions, isn't it? Fakir Duderie, fingers crossed he runs, and if he carries the green and gold and you're telling us he runs, then he must run. So
I don't have a clue.
I think no one talks less to Frank Berry than Fran Berry about the sounds of things anyway. Maybe he tells you less than he tells everyone else. One more race at Dundalk before we get your naps. Let's go back to Dundalk. We conclude with a 1.5 mile handicap. This one's open. Mr. Mills for Chris Timmins, former jockey, now trainer, Robbie Colgan. Looking for a second course win. You got Sandcastle, Celtic Revival, juvenile hurdle winner, Too Bright for Noel Mead, tops the weights. Where are we looking?
Yeah, number two, Mr. Mills, is pretty unexposed and has strung together two good runs and over a mile and a quarter. Nice win last time. He could step forward again to carry his penalty, given his likely race nature. Number one, Too Bright, not the most straightforward, but he's maybe down to mark where he can compete. He's got the blinkers back on, which would be a big plus to him. He shaped with some promise last time over the distance. And Sandcastle, pretty unexposed horse and on the level, if you like. No match, no showing him made in Hurl at Christmas, but he was a big outsider on that occasion. Eastern Tornado, number six, was a very good winner here 3 starts ago. And again, he ran a very good race over course and distance, finishing off well behind Grace Solution, who was second. So keep an eye on how she performs in the previous race as regards Eastern Tornado's form and chances. But there's one down the bottom that you gave a mention to, PK. And we call him the Spring King, of course, Eddie Lynham, Celtic Revival. He's shaped a promise in all his last 4 or 5 starts. He's been quite keen in his races, not giving himself much chance to finish. But James Ryan got on him last time, stepping up to 1.5, and he got him relaxed and he got to finish off strongly. Despite hanging to his left a little bit down the straight, he ran on really well, looking like finally the pennies begin to drop with him. I've no doubt he's far better than his rating of 49. He's got a good draw to get cover to relax and stall number three. And you'd feel now's his day. Hopefully it's his day. And I think James Ryan, having had the benefit of the experience riding him, he seems to get horses to settle very well. And he's very good value for his £7 claim. Hopefully it finishes off the evening in good style for Eddie Lynham.
Yeah, a winner over a mile and a half, Freddie Lynam. Do they even know how to run that far? Have they ever run that far before? You'd be like, this is too late.
It's a rarity anyway, isn't it? It's definitely a definite rarity. Definitely rarity, yes, yeah.
Right, best bets on Friday night, Fran. Off you go. Nap, next best, Akers, Trebles, you name it.
race five, Ocean Symphony, trained by Johnny Morte, is Napa tonight. I think his promise of his run over six furlongs of debut, slow starter, ran home strongly, doing really good work inside the final half furlong. He should be hard to beat with normal improvement against a couple of Joseph Ryan trained runners. And we go a handicap treble, PK. Race three, Final Voyage, very keen him again at a mile, particularly with an inside draw. Number race seven, Great Solution. I need her to win to get back a few quid. I lost her last day, but I do think she's very well handicapped and unexposed in this grade or on this track at this distance. And hopefully Eddie Lynam can finish off the even with Celtic Revival winning over a mile and a half. So we'll go with a treble on that handicap route, if you like. And depending on the price, if each way price is all the better.
And even, well, you don't back each way prices. You back 1-4. If they're all 1-4, just stick them in each way travel, and Fran's only delighted.
Well, I'm just praying we win a few quid on Friday night and roll it all on Henry Gamine on Saturday at 4-9.
Too big, 4-9, Fran. Wait, it's too big. It's too big. You're waiting for Edward Stone to get pulled out and back Henry Gamine 1-50. Right. Thank you very much, Fran. In terms of what we're going to do for our weekend pod tomorrow with Rory and Ruby, look, we're going to play it by ear in terms of what's happening with all the meetings and stuff like that. We'll let you know on Twitter and stuff like that, but we just don't know what's going to happen with all the racing, but we'll hopefully have something out for you. If everything gets called off, we might take a Friday off, but don't worry, we'll be back next week. Remember, check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel for Cheltenham Countdown Series. We'll be back on Tuesday looking ahead to a couple of races, and of course we'll be back with yourself, Fran, next week ahead of another Friday night. Thank you very much, Fran. Weekend plans before we go? Weekend plans?
Pretty quiet, yes. Yeah, pretty quiet. Dundalk Friday and kids something at the weekend, trying keep them occupied, so, and bring them to the betting shop and try and get on Eric Gamina 4-9, I suppose.
Don't bring the kids. leave them outside for that part. Thank you very much. Right, listen, have a great weekend, folks. Have a great weekend, Fran, and we'll be back next week.